you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to be turning to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. One thing so far in our study that we've seen is the following, and that is that James stresses that it's not the hearer of the word that's blessed, but it's the doer of the word. James gave several illustrations of that in chapter 1 and in part of chapter 2. Well, in our text today, James chapter 2, verses 14 through 20, he stresses that one's faith is demonstrated when it works. And it's only then that your faith becomes pleasing. Let me repeat, that's the lesson that James emphasizes in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 20. One's faith is demonstrated only after it works. And it's only then, James says, that it blesses. Extremely important lesson for the religious world to hear, but a lesson that is clearly taught in the book of James. He begins, the first section of our text is verses 14 through 17. And here James says that faith without works is dead. Verse 14, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Going back for many centuries, this particular text has been a source of controversy for many, beginning really in the days of Martin Luther. Throughout, and this is one thing that he taught that has caused so many misunderstandings in the religious world, was that Luther taught that Paul and James contradicted one another. And so Luther chose to believe Paul and not James. He couldn't see how both of them could be teaching the same thing. For instance, he went back to Ephesians chapter 2, very familiar passage, verses 8 and 9. This, of course, is the words of Paul as he was writing to the church at Ephesus. He writes, verse 8 of Ephesians 2, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." That, of course, is the qualifier. And, of course, we just read in James how it says, what does it profit if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? It's obvious in the original that the author is expecting a negative response. No, it cannot. Paul says you're saved without works. James says you're saved by works. See, he had a trouble putting those two together where they made sense. The answer, of course, is very, very obvious when you look at the two contexts. They are talking about two entirely different types of works. Paul is talking about the kind of works that one would do, good works, but that in some way would cause God to owe you salvation. See, he says there in verse 9 about boasting. Some may think that by doing good works they could boast in them. That by doing them, God owes them salvation. They've earned salvation. Paul says, no one can earn salvation. It's impossible. You cannot do enough good works to earn salvation. Paul makes that clear. Those are not the type of works at all that James is talking about. But so many, millions and millions of people have misunderstood how James and Paul actually teach the exact same thing. But they're talking about different types of works. Paul says, works that you believe you do that God would owe you salvation. Paul says, not true. You can't do anything apart from God, apart from Christ, that would earn you salvation, that would merit you salvation. That's what Paul is teaching in Ephesians chapter 2 and other places. James is not talking about those type of works. James is talking about works of obedience. Works of obedience that's necessary for salvation. But Paul taught that as well. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul taught the following. Philippians chapter 2, notice verse 12. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. This is the same Paul that wrote to Ephesus. Now he's writing to the church at Philippi. Paul writes this, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. He says, "Therefore, my beloved," so he's writing to Christians, "as you've always obeyed," notice what he says, "as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." See, that's the same Paul. Paul says, you work out your own salvation. No, you're not going to earn it. But as he said, as you have always obeyed, you continue to obey. You must continue to obey. The obedience doesn't earn you salvation. That doesn't make you good enough. But they're absolutely necessary. Back in Acts chapter 10, we have a similar account. Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 34 and following. Notice what's said there. This is the Apostle Peter. Peter and Paul and James all say the same thing. They all teach the same thing. Beginning in verse 34 and following, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him.'" Peter said, and Paul said, and James said that there's a type of work that you must do, everyone must do, to be accepted by God. So James is talking about obedience. He's not talking about works that earn salvation or that by doing them God owes you salvation. You can't do anything like that. But James is saying, an obedient faith is the only kind of faith that's living and powerful and has the ability to save. He begins in verse 14, as we read, "Can that faith save him?" Faith that does not have works. And in the original it says, "Can that kind of faith save him?" The answer is no. See, James says emphatically, the kind of faith that does not have works cannot save. That should have been the end of the matter several hundred years ago. But unfortunately, people have taught falsely about that for centuries. When the Bible is very clear that James and Peter and Paul and all the other writers teach exactly the same thing. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. An inactive, disobedient faith cannot save. Someone can profess that they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. James says, without obedience, that faith cannot save. Why? Because James says it's dead. It has no life to it. Paul taught that each of us are going to be judged on Judgment Day. According to what? Our works, he says. Our works. He says that's going to judge us on the day of judgment. So professing faith, coming up before an audience and saying that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that's great, but it has no power whatsoever. Unless it's followed by obedience. Does that obedience earn you salvation? Absolutely not. Is it necessary to salvation? Absolutely. James said it. Peter said it. Paul said it. And I believe it. Because that's what the Bible teaches. That's not what tradition teaches, but tradition doesn't save. It does not, and cannot and won't ever save anyone. So if we have a profession of faith without obedience to God, James says it is worthless. And James says, I want you to understand. So he says, I'm going to give you an illustration. If someone comes and they're hungry and they're destitute of food and so forth, and you do what? Well, you acknowledge that they are in need of help. You profess that they're in need of help, but you don't act upon that profession. See, this is the illustration James is giving. James says, if that's the kind of faith you have, James says it's worthless. If all you say is, well, be warmed and filled. See, there's your profession. You believe they need help. You profess that you believe they need help. But you do not act upon that profession. James says, you have a dead faith. He says it is a worthless faith. It's an empty faith. It's a fruitless faith. What does it profit? What kind of blessing comes from that, James says? James says, none. You might as well not have said a word. And similarly to those countless millions of people. Millions and millions of people have believed that when they said they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that they're saved. James says none of them were. Not a single one. So we can either believe Martin Luther and church tradition and church history, or we can believe Peter and Paul and James. They all say that faith without works is dead. Faith without works cannot save. Faith without works is worthless. John said the same thing. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. There he uses the word love. 1 John 3, verse 17 says, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In word or in tongue, saying something, saying that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, has no significance unless it's followed by, as John says, deeds. James uses the word works. Same thing. Who do we believe? Do we believe church history and church tradition and all of that? Or do we believe what the Word says? The vast majority of people in the religious world have chosen to believe church history and church traditions and have ignored Peter and Paul and James. And how sad that is. He says that type of faith is dead by itself because it lacks what shows it's alive. What is it that makes faith alive? James says it's works. That's how you know it's alive. It's working. It's moving. It's acting. It's doing. He makes the case later on about a body. You know, a dead body is still a body. James says a dead faith is still faith, but it's not alive. It's not living anymore. So people who simply make a profession of faith, James says that faith is dead. It's not alive. There's nothing about it that's alive. Why? Because James says it has to be demonstrated by works. Not works that we believe earn us salvation, but works of obedience, showing that we're submissive to God's will. Hebrews 11, we studied that several months ago. Faith's Hall of Fame. When you look at that, when did God bless all of those people? It says they did several things by faith. And notice it says they did several things by faith. When did God bless them? Only after they demonstrated their faith. Not upon saying that they believe God. Abraham wasn't blessed when God told him to go into another country until what? He went into the other country. Next week we're going to look specifically, Lord willing, about Abraham. Maybe one of the most misunderstood characters in the Old Testament. But it's so important. All of those people in that list, they were blessed after they acted, not before. Every single one of them. By merely stating they believed, they were not blessed with anything. Professing belief, professing faith, has no power. Peter said it, Paul said it, James said it. No, that's not what church history says, but that's what the truth says. Faith does save. If I'm going to be saved, I'm going to be saved by faith. But only when it's accompanied by obedience. No one is ever saved by faith alone. That may be the most destructive, eternal destructive belief ever. Is that someone is saved by faith alone. James says they are definitely never saved by faith alone. And if there was one thing that I would like the religious world to know, it's that. That no one has ever been saved by faith alone, going all the way back to the days of Adam and Eve. Not a single person was ever saved by faith alone. But it was only when that person acted upon their faith that they received any blessing. Never before. In religious world, I wish they would understand that very simple truth. No one was ever saved at the point of faith. Not a single one. James, in the second part of our lesson, says that works demonstrate a living faith. Verse 18 of James chapter 2 says, "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works.'" James replies, "Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the devils believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" Same phrase he used before. What does James do? He imagines a critic. And here's the critic. The critic tries to prove James wrong. As has been done for the past several hundred years, people have tried to prove James wrong. James is saying that faith without works is dead. So here comes a critic that says, "That's not true, James." Somebody can express their devotion to God by simply believing. Another person expresses their devotion to God by works. So this critic is saying, either way is fine. You can express your devotion by believing, by having faith, or you can express it by works. Either one leads to salvation. James comes back and says, that is so false. James says, that's not true at all. So James answers his critic. He says, okay, show me your faith. If you say someone can be saved by faith alone, James says, I want you to show me your faith. It's impossible, because faith can't be seen. So James says, you show me your faith without your works, I'll show you my faith by my works. James says, that's how faith is seen. That's how it's exhibited. That's how it's demonstrated. That's how one's devotion is demonstrated. It says you cannot show your faith apart from works. James says this is further evidence that faith without works is dead. James says they depend upon each other. It's not that someone is saved by faith alone or someone that's saved by works alone. James says it's neither. I know some religious groups teach you're saved by faith alone, others that say you're saved by works alone. James says they're both wrong. James says you're only saved by an active, obedient faith that works. He says it's the combination of the two. You don't separate them. If you separate them, they lose their power. I teach science, and we do a lot of chemistry where you have this chemical here and that chemical there. Apart, they don't have any power. But boy, you put some of those together, they have some power. Well, that's what he's saying about faith and works. Faith alone has no power. Works alone has no power. But you put them together, powerful. That's what James wants them to know. It's not an either or, it's a both. Faith and works. In Mark chapter 2, we see, this is an account of course, of Jesus. In Mark chapter 2, you'll remember this account. This is one we learned as a, you know, very young in the church. Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 2, Jesus is in Capernaum, and it says, immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached a word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, what did he see? He saw their faith working. What would have happened if they would have just stayed outside and believed that Jesus would heal them? Not a thing. The guy would have remained a paralytic. But because they believed that Jesus could heal, what did they do? Their faith acted. And it was only when it acted that Jesus said he saw their faith. See, that was a living, active, obedient faith. It wasn't a dead faith. It was one that was active. It was a faith that was working. Then he makes one more point to drive home that theme that faith without works is dead. He says, you believe that there's one God. You do well. He says, faith in God, faith in Christ is absolutely essential and no one will ever be saved without it. But he says, that is not sufficient. And James says, you know it's not sufficient. Why? Because the demons believe the same thing. Think about all the different times that there were demons that Jesus addressed or that talked to Jesus, and they did what? They all said, we know who you are, the Holy One of God. We know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth. The demons believed, and their faith was not just a shallow faith, because their faith was so strong that they were what? Terrified. See, they couldn't repent. Demons can't repent. They can't be baptized. So they knew they were lost. So they were terrified. They believed, we might say with their whole heart, their whole soul, their whole mind, they absolutely believed that Jesus of Nazareth was the Holy One of God. And that's what many, many, many people say saves them. James says it won't ever save a single person. Because that's exactly what the demons believe. They believe 100%, totally, that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah, the Anointed, the Holy One of God, the Son of God, the Christ. They believe that. And they believe it so strongly that they're terrified because they know what awaits them. So instead of saying that we're saved when we believe like the demons, we should realize that if that's all we do, we should be terrified. So all the people in the world who's made that confession and believe they are saved, instead of feeling good, they should be terrified, just like the demons. They should be trembling. They should be shuddering. It's so horrible. if that's all they do, because they're in the same situation that the demons are in. They believe, and they believe strongly, but that's all. The demons believe, and they professed. They made a good confession. Those demons made a good confession that was sincere, and they believed it with all their heart and soul and mind, whatever you want to call that they would have. They truly believed. So they believed and they professed, but they didn't obey. Of course, demons couldn't obey, but they didn't obey. James says that type of faith that all that it does is believe and make that confession is exactly the same type of faith that all the demons have. So when people claim that they're saved by faith alone, they're claiming that they have the same type of faith that all the demons have. Instead of feeling they're saved, they should feel terrified at what awaits them on the judgment. That's what they should feel. That's what James says. It's not what I'm saying. It's what James is saying. James tells us that. And since James tells us, I believe it. He says that type of faith cannot save. It could never save, and nor will it ever save. These demons know they're lost. The sad part is, those without an obedient faith do not know it. They need to know it like the demons know it. All of those countless people who believe and profess their belief in Jesus, they have no more hope than the demons do. Not a shred of hope more than all the demons do. Do we understand how serious that is? They have absolutely not a single bit of hope more than all those demons. James says their destiny is exactly alike, if we want to believe James. No wonder so many people in the world don't ever read James, don't want to hear from James, don't believe it, because it teaches just exactly the opposite of what they want to believe. But we have to take the whole Bible. But all those people, James says, are in the same predicament, the same state, the same condition that all the demons are. In other words, they have no hope whatsoever. Faith to save must lead you to obey. Faith must lead you to repent. Demons, they didn't repent. Repentance is absolutely necessary. But belief leads to repentance. We're not saved by repentance only, just like we're not saved by faith only. One must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as we've talked about this morning. But we're not saved by confession alone. We're not saved by faith alone or repentance alone or confession alone. All of those lead one to be baptized, to be immersed in water, just like those on Pentecost, immersed in water for the express purpose of forgiveness of sins. But baptism alone doesn't save. Someone going into water and being buried in water has no power whatsoever, unless it's preceded by belief and repentance and confession. So it's not belief alone, it's not confession alone, it's not repentance alone, it's not baptism alone. It's an obedient faith that acts. And we never believe that doing those things earns us salvation, because they don't. But they're absolutely necessary and essential to salvation. Can faith without works save? James says no. So we say the same thing. Where has your faith led you? That's the important question. Individually, what has your faith led you to do? Where has your faith led you? Has it led you to believe and act and obey and be submissive to God's will? Or maybe this morning is the morning that you are ready to submit to His will. And if it is, we encourage you and urge you to come as we stand and sing this invitation song.